Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. I'm back.
You've got a big smile on your face.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back.
You clearly missed it.
Kind of. Yeah. It was interesting not to do the show on a Tuesday, yeah. It was chilled and relaxed. I did listen to part of Jules's show, just to check on her, which was okay. Good. So, yeah, no, welcome. Welcome to the Business Bunker
You've
show.
You've even forgotten what to do now.
No, I haven't. No, we're short of guests at the moment. We're still waiting for some guests to arrive too. But we have got a guest with us in the studio, Michael, and we're going to be talking to Michael soon. But it's lovely to be back and here on the Business Bunker show on a Tuesday afternoon. And as always, of course, we'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could be like Nettie and her guest and arrive halfway through the show. Hello.
She's tried so hard.
She crept in there, didn't she? She thought he'll never notice that I've just crept in and I'm late. Hold on, I'll even turn your mic on. Look at that.
Okay, no headphones. We were here on time. Couldn't get parked, couldn't get in the car park, and then got locked in the car park and couldn't get out.
Were you panicking?
No, it's a nice day.
Okay. Hi, Nettie.
Hi.
Hello, Nettie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We've got Nettie and Sonia joined us as well, so that's lovely.
We'll let Sonia settle down.
Yeah. Yes. She's got 45 minutes before she's got to do anything, yes, so she can ease herself into this. It's fine. I was just getting us underway.
You
were. And saying that people could ring us if they want.
On what number?
01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035.
Were you not tempted to ring in last week just for a laugh?
Do you know, I was. But I knew that Jules had overcooked it last week. I said to Jules, do you want to do the show while I'm away? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I've got some guests lined up. She goes, no, cancel them. I'm going to do a special with Gavin on international business. And I went, okay, fine. So I rearranged all the guests I already had booked. And she went, right, I've got 4 phone guests and 4 guests in the studio. I went, you've only got 2 hours. You're not on here all day, you know. But it works. It worked for her. It worked. And she had callers from Nigeria and New Zealand and stuff.
Of course she did. She's a global
leader. Yeah, she's global, isn't she? And Francois was in the studio. See, I was gonna ring in and do my French bit, wasn't I?
Bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour, Sabah. Je suis un radio star. Yeah. J'avais un résidence, yeah. J'habite là.
That's a song.
Yeah. A la south of France. You remember it as well.
No, I heard about it from my grandmother.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so I was going to do that, but I didn't.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because we're so used to being in here on a Tuesday. Mm. You find yourself up. It's like when I was in Rwanda. Mm. I was like listening to you. I was like, this is crazy. Why am I listening to Business Bunker?
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Yeah.
And then try and call in.
Yeah.
It's
also odd how about 1:04, no matter where I am in the world, I say the same thing. I sat in a restaurant in France and I'm going, if you want to call us, it's 01233 220035.
Brilliant. I love it. Anyway.
Yeah, nice one. If you don't want to call us, you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk.
You can just sit there all alone.
Yeah. But by far and away, the easiest way to get in touch with us, as always, is to interact with us on Twitter. And if you tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker, it will be fun. And we've already had a few. We've already got a GIF straight up from Tech Expo.
We've got another better GIF from Amanda Flanders.
Right.
It says, hi, Biden and Bike. Have a great show today. By the way, you weren't mentioned until now. Before VanillaWeb starts moaning about the blooming holidays, yeah. we had a lovely holiday. Holidays are great. And there's a beautiful photo of you all. So don't try and tell us that you are just this madman who can't take holidays, because that's not true anymore. Man, you've changed.
He's had 2 holidays, actually.
I have, actually, yeah.
In 1 year.
1 year.
No, 2 years. Well, it was last October when I went on the other
one. But within 12 months.
Yeah, within 12 months. Yeah, that is true. No, I had a lovely time. I had a really fantastic time. And me and Bear's my grandson, we had a great time. We had loads of fun. But
I just love the way that Amanda knows you so well. It's like, right, before he starts moaning about it.
No, it wasn't a holiday. It was coming back.
Yes.
and my boiler blowing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Amanda, he has moaned about that already.
Yeah.
Not about the holiday, about the boiler.
Yeah.
And the emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
but we had a lovely time and the weather was fantastic. Cool. As it wasn't here, it was great.
Mm.
40 degrees every day. Brilliant. Lovely. Right. So you can tweet us. And I've had a tweet from Tech Expo and it says, "Hi, Vanilla Web Bird on a Bike Business Bunker. Registration is now open and it's free to attend the first ever Tech Expo. Come and meet the experts and learn what technology is available to help you run, build and grow your business more effectively." And there's a website where you can check it all out. TechExpoUK.com.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm on stand B12.
Are you?
Yeah,
what, is Business Bunker or
Fruit Bowl Media.
Oh, nice.
What's the date of it again?
26th of September. Yeah. It's going to be a goodie. I'm on B12.
So. Are you saying that for a joke or something?
No.
Or are you on vitamin or you want me to say something?
I knew that B12's vitamins what you need, but it just so happens that my stand number's
B12.
You've
got more London now because you've gone to France.
Well, I've been to France and I've done my French.
What, darling, how are you doing?
I did that in France. Mon sang, j'ai dans l'arbre. Hey, all right?
Anyway, well, excellent. Thank goodness we're not the BBC, darling.
I know. Well, the funny thing is my grandson speaks French, you see. Well, he would do if he wasn't a baby. But, you know, so I've got to learn French now, haven't I? Cockney French. What have you been up to anyway?
A photo shoot.
Right.
I know, right? And it is really funny.
I've seen some of the Facebook posts of you and the girl child trying to get in sequence.
The girl child. Do you know what? It's so funny. I wanted something, I don't know if you... I'm just having a new website revamped, and I haven't had photos done for 7 years. That's just crazy. So I've been using the same photo, and there's nothing worse as a speaker than seeing somebody's photo and you go, oh, they're coming. And then they stand on stage and they don't look anything like the person. I know, you're all nodding and it's so true, isn't it? Why are you coming out with your loaded finger already?
I'm going to tell you a story about that in
do
a
it.
Minute. No, 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 you do yours first.
No, yours funny.
No.
Go on.
We were at an event in Canterbury at my place at Fruitworks. It was a networking thing. And there were some speakers. And the first two speakers up, who both happened to be ladies, had pictures of themselves as the opening slide. And both of them said the same thing. They went... Oh, right. Yeah. The pictures are a little bit old. That's how I looked like 10 years ago, which was fairly obvious, really. So when I got up, I had a picture of me, and I went, this is me in 20 years' time.
That's very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you know what I mean. So anyway, new photo shoot. I was in here, so I wasn't in here on Tuesday getting everything ready for the photo shoot. By the way, I hate photo shoots. I can stand on stage, talk to thousands of people, come on the radio. It's a global radio show, my radio show. But that's
this
good,
isn't
it? This isn't,
but hers is. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. But to stand plastic in front of a smiling, and I just didn't want the normal headshots. I wanted something that absolutely was me. I didn't want to be in a suit because that's just not who I am, even if I've got my own business or whatnot. I just wanted something that was me. Anyway, I picked the right photographer who just got me. We were in here waiting till you see what we did. So I wanted some of the radio show, some of the, because the way the business is going now, we've changed the focus of it. And it is just so exciting to see these photos come to life. So there's me on a bike with a suit on and stilettos. Why not? It's
obviously
just genius. I love it.
I did see something. Was that part of it when you were running along High Seafront?
Oh, my God. That took an hour, Nettie, to organise me a news. So my daughter's come into my business with me. So it took us both to run 3 steps, jump up in the air, get a pose in the air and then come down. It was brilliant, but an hour, frustrating. Stephen's there, stood there thinking, just do it. What's your problem? He said, I was getting to the point where I was getting angry with you. I was like, I don't doubt. So that's what I've been doing. A photo shoot that you think would just be a quick hour, it isn't.
I love the one on the bike, man.
I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? I've just showed you. I've gone, oh my God, Lucy just sent it over to me, going, this is what I want. It's just genius.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
and it shows you what a good photographer can do.
And also your headshot. Oh, is that a go at me? Is that a dig at me? Did I miss it? I did, didn't I?
Keep what? Talking, Ben, yeah. You'll get away with it.
I know, I just didn't. I was like, oh, how funny. And you're so right. What was the funniest is somebody said to me, did you get your hair and makeup done? No. The wind was just coming at you, so it was so pleased. But what I love is that it got who I am, and that is who the business is.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't want a normal headshot.
Yeah.
Carry on.
No, I love that. No, I love it. All joking aside, I like them. I do like
Wait,
it. That's good.
What is, but you're going to come up with something terrible.
No, I'm not.
Would you? So if you've got photos of you in 20 years,
yeah.
Do you still have photos done now then of you, or no? Or you just don't want it done?
I'm as photogenic as a sack of potatoes now. I try to avoid having photos on. It's like anything, isn't it? Over the years, I've had one or two nice photos of
and
me.
And you keep it, don't
and
you?
And you keep it. Yeah. But, of course, after a while, people go, it's not you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was me 20 years ago. And it's just because the photo's a nice photo rather than anything. You know, I hate being photographed.
I just hate it.
A couple of years ago, I employed someone to do some headshots for me for my social media stuff. And unfortunately, they're all getting a bit old now.
You do need to, don't you? You need to bite the bullet and go, yeah. Actually, they do need to be updated. They need to be of me today.
Sadly, yeah.
And also, they don't have to just be you sat behind a desk. They can be something really different of who you are.
Yeah.
So go and get yourself a great photographer.
Yeah.
Lucy Moore Photography. She was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Good plug.
Well,
she's fantastic.
It.
No, she's
she
fantastic. She's
amazing.
Amazing job on you.
Without even makeup, love.
Oh, no.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And wind. What was it, wind you had?
It was horrific wind.
Yeah.
Horrific wind.
Bit like the Kenyan Parliament.
I don't get it.
Did you not see that?
No.
The Kenyan Parliament was suspended yesterday because somebody broke wind in a chamber and it was so bad they had to empty the chamber. Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think, and I've been a nurse for many years.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever had to evacuate people from wind.
Do you not?
No.
Well, there you go. Must have been a bad one.
And there's the greatness of the business bunker. Back to full strength.
International business.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from the King's Summit. Kings_Summit. Hi, Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Can we please have a shout out for this year's King's Summit on the 10th of October at the Kent County Cricket Ground in Canterbury? Come and learn the strategies to scale up your business from the experts who have already done it. You can find out all about the King's Summit. You can book your places, find out who the speakers are. I've got a huge lineup of speakers by going to thekingssummit.com.
Well, we have been saying it for weeks,
yeah,
actually.
We've got
an email somewhere.
We've got an email somewhere about it as well.
Okay, so here it is. Here's my weekly one. And you've been included this time too, so you must have had a word with him. Anyway, cars from Kent.com.
Hey, Mitch has been on, yeah.
Hey, Barden and Bike and Vanilla Web. Shout out, please, to buy and sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com.
Fantastic. And the lovely Kim Stevens from Caring Kent has said, good morning. I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please, because I love Business Bunker more than I like wine.
Good Lord.
I know. That's a testimony.
How much did you pay her?
I know. That's a testimonial, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if that's sort of, I'm a bit flabbergasted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, Kim. That's lovely.
Wonder what it is that we're doing that people have just fallen in love with it.
Don't know. Odd, isn't it?
Maybe it's the Bert and Ernie style that we
have. Yeah. It's your short, fat, hairy legs. That's what it is.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Absolutely.
I'm quite excited because Tracy Ferguson is listening live. She says she's getting ready to listen in live, although that there is a little difficult as the Lithuania flights last week have affected her hearing. Have a great show, Bird.
Affected her what?
Have a great show, Paul, Bird and guests.
Okay.
Yes, cha.
Because she's been at a wedding in Lithuania, has she not? Yes, she has. Yeah, we were having a discussion about Lithuania on Twitter last week.
Were we? Yeah.
No, I was.
I wasn't.
No, we didn't include you.
Thank you.
We were talking about you.
Good.
Yeah. Telcare have been on. Hello, it's Tuesday. Let's start with some thanks for these grateful Twitter superstars. Plain Talking HR at Real Print Media. And a Business Bunker show. So thank you to the lovely folks at Telcare. They're a telecom systems provider over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
I'm sorry, right? This is where I love. Can I just say this is going to be one of the funniest shows ever you'll ever be on? Because this this is hilarious what's going on with the gifts now. Amanda, you need to up your game, love, because they've literally gone mad. Okay, so this is Diamond Circle weddings, and they've put Bird in a Bike Vanilla Web. Is that a monkey on your head, or is it just wind? And this is great gift. So go on to Twitter, because you've got to find it. Right. And then you've got Tracy Ferguson saying to us, "Well, Bird, love the sound of the photo shots. And Paul's story is funny too. And you have two generations in your business now, as do Ethel Bray Limited." Yes, they do. Sounds interesting. So I love it when people start to talk to us. Talk to us, because it's really great. What is it? It's the 13th of August.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's really quiet. Not today.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's nice to get all these gifts. I'm just trying to look up the gifts at the moment while I'm waffling away this as well.
Do you want me to do an email while you're...
Yeah, why don't you do
Should
an email?
I do while... one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this is the 12th of August. Oh, that was yesterday. Oh, it's too late.
Well, don't read it then.
I won't. Oasis.co.uk, introducing our free reverse VAT crunch time brunch. We're really excited to officially announce our reverse VAT crunch time brunch. Are they joking with that name? I'll tell you, I don't know. I've just said it out beautifully. It's got a bit of a twang to it. Did you struggle with that when you read it out last time? Why are you looking at me like that?
No,
have you missed me or something? Is it?
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to think. You asked me a question. I'm trying
reverse
to
reverse VAT crunch time brunch. That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've said it many times now. Wednesday, the 4th
what
of September, it's the reverse VAT crunch time brunch at the London Golf Club. Great place. The big concept behind the free event is to bring together those in the building and construction sectors who are worried about the implication of reverse charge VAT. Don't get Nettie started on it. Coming into effect within the construction industry on the 1st of October this year.
Have you seen some of my rants?
I was here when you had the rant.
Oh, no, my LinkedIn rants have gone very well.
Have they?
Yeah.
Are you mocking?
No.
They've gone well as in...
No, they've got a
grabbed
lot
you some
of
attention?
Feedback.
Or
Yeah. We can come back to it.
Oh, excellent. this is
You'll
why this is so important. So that is why we will be bringing break. We will be breaking down the big issues and concerns around the topic with experts in construction and software solutions. The event is free to attend and will include talks from industry specialists, a Q&A session and an interactive quiz, free brunch and great opportunity for B2B networking. You need to go onto the eventbrite.co.uk and put in reverse VAT crunch time brunch.
Fantastic.
This is what it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Just
things like that just drive me potty.
What, the reverse time brunch thing?
Blooming politicians and government with their stupid ideas. They're so money obsessed and they're stupid ideas. They never think through the consequences of anything they do.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
They have to be money obsessed.
No, they don't. They have to. Well, they do if they have to be obsessed with how they spend it, not how they acquire it. And the problem is they put in place these things like IR35, CIS, reverse crunch, VAT, and they destroy whole markets. They don't make any more money out of it.
Did you see that James Sinclair, do you know James Sinclair?
Yeah, yeah.
He wrote a letter to only, I think it was only a stupid prime minister would ignore a letter like this. And he headlined it that. Mm. And he went up and handed in this letter just saying how corporation tax, all the taxes that they're putting on is absolutely squashing businesses and their ability to create and innovate.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
I mean, there's a whole heap of stuff around that, but something like reverse VAT in an industry like construction, which is already suffering massive staff shortages, and the industry is based entirely on subcontractors, making everybody sit at home doing VAT returns and write invoices without VAT on them. It's just a pain.
Oh, God. Here she goes.
I know, I'm only doing this to wind Nettie
up. Here she goes. And...
Yeah. She took a deep breath and she's ready to go.
Go. Okay.
It's not just the construction industry, though, is it?
No.
I mean, Sonia, will talk to her later, but, you know, she works in confectionery and cakes and anybody who's
got a food
business...
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it, with
business.
VAT? Yeah.
That is construction business.
It is.
Yeah.
She constructs...
Layer cakes.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is so complicated. And if I meet one more supposed business coach who tells people whether or not to be VAT registered and you just add on 20%, you and I can go and sort them out, Paul.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't work like that.
No,
you
it doesn't.
I love business coaches as well.
I do. Some of them. Really love them.
Yeah, really, really love them.
No, I do.
In a way, a black widow loves its mate.
No, that's not fair, because there's some really good business coaches yeah. out there, but I think there's a lot of real misleading about stuff.
It's all part of the same syndrome, isn't it, which is the man down the pub syndrome.
Absolutely.
The self-declared expert. Yeah, you don't want to do it like that, you want to do it like this.
Don't forget, there's a reason he's in the pub, because he's yeah. clearly got nothing else to do.
Exactly.
But it is that bit that you... Sorry, no. Yeah. It seems to be pour a glass of water. But, yeah, it's just... Everybody's different. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
And this is why I criticise HMRC and the government. Even they can't get it. I was at an event at Rift a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When they were talking about IR35.
Yep.
And a bloke from HMRC stood there, and somebody said to him, right, if somebody comes onto my building site and they're a subcontractor, how do I know that you're not going to find them in IR35? He went, it's easy. If you tell them what to do, then they're employed. And he went, there's a big sign at the front of the gate that says you must wear a hard hat and steel boots on this site. And he went, yep, so you're telling them what to do. And everybody looked at the guy from HMRC and went, that's stupid. And he went, yeah, I know.
But luckily we have the human version of HMRC there in Kai, and he can actually decipher it, but there's too much advice out there that's not qualified advice.
Exactly, and coming back to Sonia's cakes, there was a whole court case over Jaffa cakes.
Yeah,
either whether a Jaffa cake was a biscuit or a cake, and depending on which way they came down was whether it was VAT-able or not.
Absolutely, and let's not forget that led to the whole hot-cold food debate.
Absolutely.
Eating it in or eating it out.
Your Greg's sausage rolls, yeah.
It's just mad.
If it's a hot sausage roll, you pay VAT on it. If it's a cold sausage roll, you don't. Yeah. If it's
what
a hot
pasties.
Yeah.
Pasties. You can't eat a cold pasties.
You see the look of terror on her face there.
If it's a pirate, they don't have to pay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a pirate from Penzance. There's no VAT. Talking... Everyone else has to pay it if it's hot.
oh dear. Talking about pirates as well.
Mike, you know, I said to you, this is a really great business show. I'm so sorry because I asked you to come in and I just feel so ashamed. I'm so sorry.
Apparently, once a month it goes badly downhill.
Da da. There is a very funny tweet about this, actually, and it's from Diamond Circles, and they've put, hope you had a great holiday, Vanilla Webb and Burned Bike. I wasn't away, actually. It's so good to have you back on air. Polly and I spent a week in Mosul, I'll say it correctly, rather than you would have gone.
Mosul.
There we go. Yeah, and we visited...
I lived in Cornwall, I know it's Mosul.
Exactly, of course you did. And we visited the Pirates of Penzance and learnt why pirates are called pirates. Because they are. It's very funny. Have a great show.
I saw something the other day on Twitter, actually. It was somewhere in the West Country is like Pirate World, some theme park. And there's a huge sign out front with a couple of pirates painted on it. And it said the Pirate Code. It said, pirates are nice to everybody and we never take other people's property. And somebody's put across the middle of it, don't think you understand the concept of pirates. Unbelievable. The Romney Marsh Resource Centre have tweeted us, hi guys, just to let everyone know that our fully funded response courses are back for people aged 19 plus. This includes qualifications like COSH, emergency first aid at work, and manual handling. COSH, of course, is the food handling certificate, is it not? Whether you handle hot pasties or not, yeah, you need a certificate if it's a hot pasty, and you don't if it isn't, or something.
I'm not even getting involved.
I've lost the plot
it.
There. Yeah. What's your feeling about cheese pasties?
Good Lord.
Yeah, I saw the look on her face as soon as I said it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Vegetarian pasties, huh?
Whoa.
It's not good, is it? No. Anyway.
I don't even eat them. I don't like pastries, so I'm not worried about it at all. You want cheese, you have cheese, love.
Thank you. No, I don't like cheese pasties. I'm a traditionalist.
My nan used to use skirt, and to try and get skirt,
Beef is
so difficult to put in a pasty. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I can remember...
Put in a what?
Pasty. With it's skirt.
Anyway, back to Romney Resource Centre.
And their cheese pasty.
Yeah, no, it says, if you want to find out about their COSH emergency first aid and manual handling at work, give us a ring on 01797, that's the Marsh, 01797 367 455, or send us a message on Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Romney Resource. So do that. You can do it an email, I think, and then we're going to speak to our next guest. No, we're not. We're going to play a track first, is what we're going to do. That's what we'll do. Because I've got, talking about cheese, I've got some cheesy tunage.
Do it.
I've got cheesy tunage, just for Michael, this is. See if you can get it. Bit obvious, really,
it was,
wasn't it?
It was a good one.
Yeah, it's a bit obvious, but there you go.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. The mixture's there with the Pushbart song. How cheesy was that?
Very.
Bit obvious, really, wasn't it? But
well, only if you know who's coming up. If you don't, then you'd go, that's a nice song.
That's very true, that. That is very true.
So it won't be long before people will accuse you of being cheese.
Do you reckon? Yeah. I've had a tweet from IPS International, and they say, hello, Vanilla Web. Can we please have a shout-out for apprenticeships? Exam results for A-levels and GCSEs are due out this week and next. If you're thinking about your next career step and are looking into apprenticeships, we can help. And the way to do that is to go to their website, which is ips-apprenticeships.co.uk. Check them out. They're really good, IPS. They do they do their own training. They help apprentices. But anything, whether you're a parent, a teacher, an employer, or a potential apprentice, they've got all the information you need on their website. And if you can't find it, you can ring them and ask them. They're really good, because one of the problems with apprenticeships is no one's got a clue what's going on, because the government keep messing about with the apprenticeship scheme every 10 minutes and nobody knows what's happening, whereas people like IPS can put you straight.
Nice.
So if you want to know anything about apprenticeships from any point of view, they're the people to give a call to. They're based over in Sittingbourne.
Nice.
Nice one. Right. I think we'll talk to our first guest. I think we'll introduce some decorum and professionalism and some sanity into this show.
Yes.
But let's talk to Michael first.
Okay.
Michael Spatt, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on the Business Bunker show. Yep. Michael, you're from Vintage Cycle Sport. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about what you do?
Oh, my whole relationship, I suppose, with cycling and bikes goes back many, many years. In fact, started, I guess, in the children's section of the public library in Chester, my hometown. When I
He's a northern lad. I didn't realise that.
A northerner.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I still say?
Yeah. That's enough. Yeah, no, of course you can. Yeah.
Anyway, I picked a book off the shelf that Saturday morning called The Big Loop.
Right.
Which was all about a young boy growing up, single-parent family in the suburbs of Paris in the 1950s, who had the ambition to become a professional cyclist. And this went all the way through all the traumas, et cetera, et cetera. Until, of course, ultimately, he won the Tour de France. At that point, I was smitten completely.
Right.
And that love of cycling and bikes has lasted me all my life. The point that I'm at now really, I suppose, started a couple of years prior to my retirement, so about 7 years ago now, when I started doing some general bike servicing.
Right.
And decided also to restore a couple of bikes, because having grown up as a racing as a schoolboy back in the 60s, I'd always had a love of the older steel bikes. So I restored a couple of those, well, sold those. And it really, I suppose, took off about 3-4 years ago now, when I was asked to build a bike for a chap up in the Midlands that I'd met on a cyclist sportif that I was working on.
Right.
It then came to the point where I think literally within about a month of him having taken delivery of that one, I got orders from 5 or 6 of his friends to build bikes.
Word of mouth marketing strikes again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it really has just gone on from there. It's grown and grown and grown to the point where 3 years ago I decided I think I'm actually going to have to run this as a business.
Right.
It's not just a hobby anymore. And really has moved on from there. So a lot of what I do now comes from recommendations and word of mouth. I'm pretty basic in terms of social media.
Right.
So in terms of my marketing, it's very limited.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But with the nature of the business you do, you don't really need a lot of marketing because it's a highly specialised business, isn't it?
True.
So I'm fascinated. Prior to your retirement, did you work in the bike business before that?
No. I'd spent the majority of my working life was in the motor trade, although the last 15 years of it was with an international air ambulance company. And
right.
I used to deal with flight planning and logistics, ambulances, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, that's fascinating. That could be another story in itself.
No, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Cool. No, you got me now. So you started restoring racing cycles.
Correct. Yeah.
Do you specialise in a particular era of racing cycle?
Most of what I do falls from late 50s through to early 80s.
Okay. And what is it about those machines that particularly attract you and the people that are enthusiastic about them?
I think it goes back to what is termed the golden age of cycling, if you like. A lot of people, the majority of my customers these days, fall into the category of the bikes that they're now buying and asking me to build for them are bikes that they would love when they were youngsters but could never afford.
Yeah.
Now they can.
Right. When I was a kid, I had a Claude Butler racing bike.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't, you know, people used to go, I don't even know where I got it from. I must have stolen it from somewhere, probably. I don't remember where I got it from. And I had this Claude Butler, and I wasn't a big cycling enthusiast. I was a motorbike person. And I bought my first motorbike when I was about 12. Whoops, I shouldn't admit that, really. But people used to go, oh, I love that. So are there particular types of frames, types of bikes that are incredibly sought after from that era?
There are, certainly. Yeah. A lot of those tend to be Italians,
right?
Because the Italians were the ones that in that era were probably most highly respected, although there are a lot of very highly respected English builders as well.
Right.
Very few these days, although there are still specialist builders who okay. still build manufacturing steel bikes.
I'm not a bike person, so forgive me if I kind of get this wrong, but in a lot of other industries, and I suspect possibly with bikes these days, that they build them out of materials like Kevlar and stuff like that. Mm. Yeah. I mean, what were they building them out of in the 60s? Is it tubular steel?
It was all tubular steel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And they're heavy.
Yeah,
I mean, they're heavy bikes.
Well, they are, but it's surprising, actually. The number of people, bearing in mind the ones that I build a stock bike, so if people see me at an exhibition or a bike show or something, and they say, can I lift it up? They're often surprised at how relatively light they are, but given that they were very much top-end bikes of their time.
Yeah.
So how heavy are they, Mike?
But you're looking, I suppose, round about the 12, 13-pound mark.
Pounds. Can you change it to kilograms? How much is that?
Oh, I don't know those kilograms.
Well, I do. Because I've just got a new bike.
Right.
And mine's 6.3 kilograms.
Well, I would put them probably...
That's light.
Yeah, that is exceptionally light. I mean, that's a very much top-end bike today.
Yeah.
You'd be looking at the steel probably around about 12 kilos.
Yeah. So that's the difference. It's double the weight.
And what's your bike, Kevlar?
No. Carbon fibre.
It's carbon fibre.
Yeah. Okay.
I think one of the big differences, one of the attractions of bikes from the earlier period is that everyone tended to have its own character. They all had lug works with all different designs, and you could often look at a bike and tell who had actually built it.
Right.
The big criticism of bikes, with all due respect to modern bikes today, the vast majority of them come out of the same factory in Taiwan with different names on them.
Yeah. It's a bit like cars, really, isn't it? You know, you design a car, but they end up looking the same because you used a wind tunnel to design it the same as everybody else did, so they kind of look the same.
They're a thing of beauty. They are, aren't they?
They are.
I get it. I met Mike at the tour of Cambridge, and I was just like, wow, we nearly bought two bikes there and then, but it just didn't have the size that we wanted. So they're beautiful.
So let's focus on your hobby, non-business. Off air, we were talking about this, and I just kind of want you to go over it again in terms of how your business is made up, in terms of its different segments.
Percentage-wise, we're talking about, I should think, 20% of the bikes that I sell are ones that I build for stock. Right. I always like to have a stock of about half a dozen bikes or in that region that I take to exhibitions.
Can I ask you some questions there?
Sure.
So you've got a stock of bikes.
Correct.
Do you go to auctions and things and buy the bikes, or do you buy the parts and build them yourself, as
the
it were?
The majority of them, I buy the frames and then source all the correct period components for them.
Right.
And those will come sometimes in the UK. I do have built up over the last few years a network of contacts in Europe who I deal with on a regular basis. Right. Or a lot of the parts I get from Europe now, simply because in this period, bike racing in France, Italy, Belgium, etc. was
bigger.
Far bigger than it was in the UK, so there are a lot more out there.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time trawling around bike markets?
Not bike markets as such. I spend a lot of time trawling around the internet and using Messenger to contact some people like that.
Right.
I do. There are bike jumbles. There are local ones that I do go to occasionally.
Right.
And sometimes bike jumbles are part of bike weekend festivals that I'll be exhibiting at, so I'll go along the bike jumble as well in case there's anything there that's worth having.
It's interesting. I was just thinking about it. I drove past it about 18 times while I was on holiday. There's a small village in the Dordogne, and they had an art installation on their village green, which was a bunch of bicycles, but they were mostly kids' bicycles.
Yep.
And they were all ranged all the way around the village green, and each of them was painted a different colour. It looked really fetching. Right. It's really, but they were all really old kids' bikes. Yep. Yeah. And you see that in France a lot, not racing bikes particularly, but sit-up and big bikes and bikes with baskets on, just really old ones kind of propped against walls here and there and stuff. So you source a lot of stuff from the internet these days?
Yes, from the internet and contacts that are built up through internet connections initially, yes.
Mm. Yeah. And when you source parts, I used to own and run a motor racing team.
Right.
And quite often, when we'd smash a car up, which you did quite a lot, we'd actually have the parts, replacement parts, made because it was quicker, simpler and easier just to have them made rather than to trawl around trying to find them. Do you ever find that with bikes that you have to actually get some parts made?
Very, very rarely. Most parts are still out there.
Right.
Sometimes I'll buy a component to use it as spares.
Right.
So I'll only use parts of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are often mistaken. They look at bikes, certainly when I'm exhibiting, and they said, oh, I didn't know you could get all sort of retro parts these days. No, they're not retro parts. They are all original.
Yeah.
That have just been totally restored.
Right, okay. So that's kind of 20% of your business is your stock business. Let's have a look at the rest of it.
The rest is split pretty much 50-50 between bikes that I get commissioned to build. So somebody will come along to me and say, right, okay, I would have loved in 1985 a Conargo Supra or something like that. This is my size. Can you build it for me? The answer is yes. So I'll then source the frame. Or the
I was going to say, so you source the whole thing?
Discuss the colour that they want it doing, etc., and then build it from scratch.
Okay. And then do people come along with a bike or half a bike or some bits of a bike and go, can you make that work?
Very much so, and that's the other 50% of that sector, yes.
Yeah.
I do a lot of restoration of customers' own bikes.
Right.
A lot of them that have been, in many cases, inherited.
Right.
And it's been in uncle's garage for 40 years, not been touched. And, you know, I'd like, for sentimental reasons, to have it restored. So I do quite a lot of those.
Right.
Yeah. And some, literally, there are a frame and a few bits and pieces that are all remains of bikes. So I've then got to source the correct period components for those as well.
And how easy is it for you to do that? Presumably you're a fairly much an expert in the bikes of that era, so you've got an eye and a feel for what's what. But do you ever come across a bike and go, I don't know what kind of saddle that had when it was made, and you have to research it? Or?
Oh, occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and that's the beauty of the internet these days, that if I was doing this 40 years ago, the research would be so much more difficult through magazines and books and things like that.
Yeah.
The information is out there these days.
Yeah.
It's only a question of really knowing where to look for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has the business got to a point where you're thinking, I either stay as I am or I'm going to have to employ somebody because the demand is... Because I know so many people who want, say, a new... You know, new bike of the and one of yours as well, and a vintage bike because there's a real love for it. I love them; they are beautiful. Are you at that stage, or are you just like, no, this is my focus. This is where I'm staying with it.
No, this is a hobby still for me.
No, it's not.
It is.
Someone's got who are you kidding, Mike? Come on.
What's your target this month for how many bikes you're going to do?
1.5 million.
I don't set targets. At the moment, I'm fully booked probably till the end of the year.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a business.
No, there's no business.
No, there's no business there, Mike.
No.
I don't want it to get any bigger.
I
understand.
No, I'm not running a business to the point where I want to bring somebody else in to help me with it. First of all, because it would lose the personal touch.
Yeah.
What I do, I have a one-to-one relationship with that customer.
Yeah.
So I'm fully answerable for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think in some cases, a lot of it is they want to deal with me as well.
Yeah,
they don't
of course.
Want to think that I'll take the order from them and then farm it off for somebody else to do.
I suppose as well, because it's fun. People are buying these for fun, aren't they?
Yes.
To the point, do you mind waiting? You know, if it was something that was urgent, you would want it. But actually, this is a bit of fun, isn't it?
One of the most common statements, There's no rush.
Yeah.
It's why Mike's business is unique and amongst a lot of other similar businesses are unique. Why you don't need to market those kind of things. They're very highly niche businesses that are based around some expertise. Mm. Yeah. And therefore, he's right in saying it's not a business in the conventional sense that, you know, you're trying to grow a multinational vintage bike business. Yeah. What he's doing is providing a service to a group of clients and customers who respect and recognise his expertise in something, and he's getting fundamental enjoyment out of it and kind of paying his costs in doing it. It's a different type of business, and it has every legitimacy of any other kind of business.
And the waiting is part of the experience as well.
Of course it is,
But I wish you could. I wish this is where I wish we had cameras in here, because every one of us is smiling, because we absolutely, that's where it starts from, and... Yeah. Oh, if only you could keep that element of business, isn't it?
But also, isn't that everybody's dream? Most people set out to do a business because it's something they enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And down the line, then Sonia's nodding.
Yeah.
And that's why I was looking at Sonia and she was like,
You have to decide, don't you, whether or not to do something with it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad, who, don't tell him, but he's in his 70s, he thinks he's about 35, he still rides my granddad's bike. When he goes into the village to get his paper and so on. No, I mean, this thing is falling to bits, but for him, it's a sentimental value. It still goes. Yeah. My granddad loved it. He's been dead for donkey's years, but he still rides it regularly. It is a certain make, because he's told me, no idea what it was, never listen. But, you know...
Can he tweet in or something?
Sorry.
If he's 35,
he's got an email machine at home.
not an Amstrad emailer.
No, he's got an email machine. He doesn't really know why they've got it.
I'll email him.
But,
sounds like a fellow 70s person.
Yeah. But I can get the enjoyment from it. It's fun, isn't it?
It's amazing. Nice. How beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very fortunate in that I don't have to make a living out of it.
Mm.
If I were to charge my labour at commercial rates, I would have to double the price of the bikes. And that would restrict the market. I do it because of the personal enjoyment I get, but I also like seeing the enjoyment the people that I'm doing them for get out of it as well.
Sure.
And owning them.
Are there such a thing as vintage bike races still?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's a focal point for a lot of them. Yeah.
They're becoming increasingly popular events for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I met Mike at the Tour of Cambridge. That's a big event. It's probably the biggest in the country to qualify for the World Championships.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are at these big places, Mike, being seen. And it's not like you're just tucked away and you're still wanting to reach people.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
it's one of my big passions. I love small businesses and I love micro businesses because I think they're the real reality of business. Yeah, and one of the problems that I have is, again, with politicians and the media and everybody, is they dwell on multinational corporations and big businesses, and when they talk about business, they talk about all these type of companies, but they have very small effects economically in reality on the world.
Yeah.
Okay, they make $1 billion or whatever, but the reality is 5.7 million small businesses make more money. Yeah, it's just in smaller dollops, and they're much closer to their customers and all the rest of it. And I love small businesses. And one of the beautiful things about things like this is a few years ago, in a similar vein, I owned a vintage race car. Yeah. Vintage, 1974 Toyota Formula 3 flat bottom car.
Not even old, is it?
Yeah.
Is that vintage?
No, exactly.
No.
But in racing car terms, in racing car terms, it is, and they participate in vintage racing. Mm. Yeah, but there's a huge tour of vintage race cars. Yeah, and of course you have to keep these things going, and with cars especially, you smash them up a lot. Mm. Yeah, so. In our business, there is a lot of retro parts because, you know, the original parts got wasted a long time ago. So people make parts and stuff. But you've got this whole ecosystem around 12 cars, basically. A race series has about 12 to 15 cars in it. And there are five or six companies who make their living out of those 12 cars, you know, from either providing tyres or bits or spares or bits of fibreglass or whatever they're providing. So you get these ecosystems around these things that are what I would call hobby artisan businesses, providing resources to that kind of marketplace.
I've got a client who has just gone and restored a Porsche. I'm going to sound like I know what I'm talking about. I don't. A 356, is that right?
Yeah. You were doing well until you said that.
Right, okay.
Go again.
That's right. But here's the thing. He said, I've taken it to a company that that's all they do. Yeah. A Porsche 356.
Six.
No other model, nothing. Yeah. And I love that because it's like that is the way to be completely focused. And that's what I love about this business. It's a true focus on the vintage bike.
Yeah. And those kind of things are really important, and they have their own marketplace and their own essence in terms of who they are and what they do and their own ecosystem around them. You know, something like a Porsche 356, I've no idea how many were made, but it wasn't many.
Well, here's the thing. They had 12 of them in their...
Have you any idea how much they're worth?
Well, I think there's only 20 of them made in this country, and 12 of them were sat on the, you know, in there being restored.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that is big end stuff. It's like Jamie, my son, and I, we were trawling around the road, and a geezer had parked a Ferrari F40 on the side of the road, and lorries were whistling down. And Jamie and I were like, that car is worth over £2.5 million.
And this is the thing, isn't it?
He's just lamped it on the side of the road, and these lorries are thundering past it. And a Ferrari F40 is made of fiberglass, basically. So every time a lorry went past, the whole thing went flappity flap, and we're both going, oh! I love what you do. I absolutely adore what you do, and I love it as a business. It is a business. As you say, you're not going to, you know, it's never going to make you a multimillionaire, but that's not the point, is it? And never has been the point. Michael, it's fascinating talking to you. Love what you're doing. Really interesting business. You're based in Faversham.
Yep.
Yeah. Although you met Bert in Cambridge.
Well, I was going, I said, you've got a great business. Where are you from? And he said, Faversham. I went, you've got to come on the Business Bunker. And that was wasn't it? And this was June.
It was.
Right, yeah.
And that's how you meet people. And absolutely. It's just fascinating to me.
Michael, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out about Vintage Cycle Sport, company, what's the best way to do that?
VintageCycleSport.com.
Fantastic.
Or you find me on Facebook at Vintage Cycle Sport.
So there's a Facebook page and a website.
Yeah. Can I just ask a question? Yeah. So, Michael, if you were going to say to people, look, you know, I just wanted to start this as a passion. Yes, I've made it into a business because you have, but I'm keeping it as this. What would you suggest people do? How do people model, copy what you've done?
Oh, now that's a difficult one. As I say, mine came very much from a hobby that developed because I was talking to people. It developed. I found a niche in the market, I suppose, although it wasn't. The niche in the market I found really accidentally because that was a specific passion of mine.
Yeah.
Did you believe that you could do this? Can you believe that actually you've got now a business from this amazing passion that you've had?
Yes, but quite by accident, because I never sat out. When I was about to retire, it was a question of what am I going to do with my time? I'll go mad if I don't do something. So I'll do something I love doing. Mm. There was no intention for it ever to be a business.
You see, I love this, and I think this is more realistic than most of the bullshit that you get from other businesses.
You just said it.
I know, I mean it too. All these people rock up with business plans and all the rest of it, and they go, you know, in year two we make £1 million. And you go, yeah. The vast majority of real businesses start in the way that Michael started his business. He built a bike, and somebody went, I like that. Can you build one for me?
Yeah.
And he's gone, oh, all right then. And 2 years later, he's got a stock of 20 bikes, and he's building bikes for people. It's organic.
It's more honest.
It's organic and evolutionary, and it works because if it didn't, the third person would never have asked him to build a bike. Absolutely. And he would have wandered off and played golf or something.
Yeah. Quite a lot of my... I can't think how many at the moment, but I've got a lot of customers now who have had multiple bikes from me, often two or three, and when they pick one up, they'll already start talking about what they want next.
Yeah.
And there are collectors. I've got a local collector in Kent who I've now built 5 bikes for, I think.
Yeah.
So, yes, a lot of customers
do. So they're loving the experience that you're giving them as well.
And it's that, because it's like the chair in the corner there from Cheeky Chairs.
Yes.
Yeah, Fuzzy, who makes Cheeky Chairs. You know, people come along, they see my chair in the corner, which is my generation chair, and they go, oh, can I get one of those? And we'll speak to Fuzzy. She'll see. And then she's made chairs for the Beano, and, you know, she makes corporate chairs with the Financial Times on. She also makes chairs with comfortable seats and stuff. But you know, it's again, it's another thing. Somebody's made something that somebody else wants, and before you know it, it's become a business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that. Michael, thank you so much for that. Really fascinating. Stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Michael Spratt of My Vintage Cycle Sport, thank you so much. We've still got loads of emails coming in. I've got an email from the lovely Ellie. And she says, hello, Paul. How's your wee holiday? She's Scottish, don't you know?
Can't understand a word they say.
I beg your pardon?
I can't understand a word they say. It's true, Sonia. You know that's the truth. I think it's from we're from extremity.
It's extremely. Please, can you give us a wee mention for Tuesday Open Arms Charity at Ashford Community Church, serving a yummy lunch from 1 p.m. for the homeless, the OAPs, and the lonely. And we usually get about 35 people to come. So if you want to find out more, give Ellie a follow on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Ellie468. LET468 is what that is.
Well, just to follow up from Michael, so Tracy Ferguson said, my brother would love this bike conversation. When we were in London for the Prudential Ride of London, Mike and I said how, he's called Mike as well, said how similar all the bikes look. So great for racing, but not individual character. What a lovely story behind the business based on customer service and passion for bikes. I agree, Tracy.
Absolutely. Do you know what?
Is it that time?
It's that time. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we got some more guests to talk to you, and we got some more emails and tweets. But for the moment, let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.
Been developments in the investigation into the disappearance of Irish teenager Nora Coyran. Local authorities say that a